Today I had a piano test, and I did really bad on it. really bad. And my mom, I came out of the room, and my mom's like, "You failed." And I got the results. And I was praying. I was like, "Please let me pass, please." And I got a 91 out of 100, so I passed.
Awesome, good job. All right, anyone else want to share? Any piano experiences, anything going on their week? You guys got anything over here? No? All right, Sprout, you're dismissed. Oh, you want to come up? You want to share?
Sure. It's good to be here tonight, and my name is Ricky Howell. I'm the evangelism coordinator at a church called Richfield Springs Bible Church, and I just want to announce this really neat event we're having, the first one of our year to outreach. It's a 3-on-3 basketball tournament Saturday on June 8th at Richfield Springs Central School from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's going to be free registration for the first 56 teams. We have quite a few spots available still. And we have trophies we're giving away, cash prizes. But most important, we're giving away Jesus Christ, the gospel. A way to get your friends out to the event. So halfway through, you can take a flyer tonight, but also take more than one. Take about 5 or 10 and get them out there to your friends at school. We want to see God work in your lives. You want to see God get you plugged in. And our goal is to, during the time we give the gospel, we're going to have a counseling team standing by. And afterwards, they're going to counsel. They're going to get follow-up cards. And if you do go to this church, we'll try to get all the follow-up cards to whoever your friends are around here to this church. And then whoever in the other areas. So praise God for that, and I hope to see you out. I hope to get your friends out, to get excited. This is for family, friends, and anybody who wants to be involved.
Thanks.
All right, I might switch out halfway because I don't know how I feel about this thing. See how it feels. I don't know. Nah. All right. It's really nice to see everyone here today, and we're going to go ahead and read and learn something from the Word of God. And even though there's not a big number of people, we still know that each one of us can learn something from what God wants to say and what he wants to do. So I'm going to be talking, basically I was been thinking and reading about the Acts church and, you know, just seeing how selfless they were and how loving they were. Many of them sold everything and just lived together, sharing and giving and helping. And it just seems to me like, you know, the Holy Spirit was so active there. And then I'm looking at my life and around, and I'm just like, you know, we struggle to even find time to help people. We struggle you guys are probably saints, but, you know, it's like every time it comes opportunity to give, it just seems like it becomes almost like a grudgingly. And I was just wondering about that, and I've been reading about actually this devotional that I found, The Ongoing Work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian Life. And I took that title, I think I did, In the Life of a Christian, part one. And I wanted to really talk about how the Holy Spirit, does he still work? Is he still active in our lives? And but to do that, I had to set up a foundation for that. So, and we just are going to look at, throughout the book of Acts, we're going to see, well, we're actually not going to go in there, but we're going to see, is the Holy Spirit still active today? And we're going to, a couple of my points are, okay, all right, so as we're growing closer to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see his name. So I'm going to talk about who he is really quick, just to give us a basis for that. What hinders our growth, and those will be the other 2 points. And then next week, I can talk about how the Holy Spirit works in the life of a Christian. And we're still going to see it here today, but I was just thinking, we're so blessed. If we make $32,000 a year, we're the top 1% of income in the world. That's like $16.6 an hour. And I was just thinking about that number and thinking about, okay, that's amazing. We're so blessed. And we have so much opportunity to give. And not only financially, but in other ways. Like, how are we, can we be alive and active? Are we alive and active like the Acts Church was? And it's something I wanted to share today and talk. And I think I noticed even in my own life, as it seems as you grow closer, you know, and you're in seeking, I'm like, Holy Spirit, I want you to become a close friend of mine. I want to learn about you, and I want to know who you are and all this. And it seems like sometimes the closer you get to God, all of a sudden you see all this stuff about yourself, like these impurities that come up. You're like, man, like, I thought I was so far, and then it's like there's so much more to go. But it's just like, you know, when gold is being refined in a fire, that all the impurities come up. In the same way, as we move to the Lord and as we begin to hear his voice and really yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to work in our lives, it's all right. It's good that that those things are coming up, and you can allow the Holy Spirit to take care of those things in your life. And so it's relevant for all of us what we're going to talk about, because he's going to finish the work he started in us. Each one of us, he'll finish the work he started. And also, I believe that God, soon, now, and young people and older people all across churches, are going to start driving them from the sidelines. And he's gonna instead of being on the sidelines intellectually agreeing that there's a God, he's going to do a transformation in people's hearts. And we're going to actually see people that really have a relationship with God, that really love the Lord. And I want to see that. And I'm so excited to see, you know, there's ways we have to go out and reach people. And we have to invite them to something. And so there's ways and there's roles that all of us play that we can help the Holy Spirit work through us to reach people, and that God could reach them. So we're going to talk about, like I said, a couple points, what hinders us, and then next week we'll be talking about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The first point is his name is Holy Spirit. So I was just reading from the Bible. You see that the Holy Spirit, he's not an option. When Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in John 3:5, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And Jesus was saying this to someone who was at his best. This was a teacher of Israel. Think about it, a guy who knows, like, everyone comes to him to teach. You know, they have a group and stuff like that, and they teach the law, they study it, that's all they do, and they have all these rules they follow. And he says to me, unless you're born again, unless everything is redone, you can't enter the kingdom of God. And we know that he's talking spiritually, because Nicodemus says, well, how is that possible? And we read and we know that. I think many of you know that he's talking about spiritual life. But the point here is that the Holy Spirit, he's not an option. He gives us spiritual sight by giving us spiritual life. And we have to be born again to be to enter the kingdom of God, as we know. So the Holy Spirit is crucial. He's not an option. He's not something, you know, that helps us out or a force in a way that it's something on the side. He is God, and he helps us in our lives. So that's where a lot of us, as I feel, especially as young people now, and honestly all ages, where you see in churches, is that a lot of people acknowledge God intellectually. Like, it's really, everyone knows, and a lot of us have grown up in church. We know how to act. We know what we should do. We know all these things, all the psalms, all the stories. We could even argue about God. We know all this intellectual stuff. But there has to be something more than intellectual. We can't be just mere principle. We can't just be following an idea that this is God. He's actually a person. We can experience him, you know, and we can know him. He has a personality. And so that's what we need in church today. That's what they need to see in us. Because the Holy Spirit wants to grow us. And even those people that intellectually, they might understand, like, they might intellectually acknowledge God, but dead things can't grow. And so what Jesus says here is they have to be born of the Spirit. And so when you receive Jesus, you are born again of the Spirit and you become alive. And that's a question that each one of us, we need to know the answer to. And we need to know the Holy Spirit is, are you born again? And we're going to see that he is a person. John 14:16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." I think a lot of people don't realize this word another means the same kind. Essentially, what Jesus says is, let me read this correctly so I'm saying it, but essentially what he says is, he will do in my absence as if I was here with you. The same kind, or another helper, the same kind. So he didn't go away and leave us with nothing. He left us with the same kind as him, a helper. And it's kind of like, you know, sometimes we wonder or we treat it like an operator on a telephone. So you dial, you know, it gets so annoying sometimes with the stuff I deal with. You know, press 1, press 2, press 3. And sometimes you're like, I just want to talk to the person so I can explain my problem because none of these options are working. And a lot of times, you know, where we treat that like, or we might see the Holy Spirit like a press 1 for the fire, press 2 to consume your enemies, you know, press 3 to, but he actually, we can have a relationship with him. And he is in us to help us and to walk us through that. So, where we, John 14:16, "I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper." Actually, the verse right before that says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then it says, "And I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper." He is here to help us. We actually need him to love Jesus and keep his commandments. And if you don't know that the Holy Spirit is there for that, you can misunderstand everything and just ignore that he's here to help. He's here to help you keep your the commandments of Jesus, because you can't do it on your own. And so an application that I use for that is I've recently begun to pray even more. Just pray and read and study and just like, Holy Spirit, I want to know you more. Grow me. Show me more about Jesus. Show me who you are. And it's so wonderful because it's like a friend. Like you, as it, when you acknowledge him, he begins to open your eyes. You feel him. Like you see, you begin to see that he really does live within you. And he does help you walk out the life that we're called to live. And so that's just so awesome to me. What hinders our growth is flesh. So this is something that before we talk about the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, one of the things that we see before we talk about how, is that our flesh hinders our growth. So if we look at Galatians 5:16-25, we should have it up on the screen, but if you have your Bibles. "I say then, walk in," walking meaning engaged or be occupied, "walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are," and as I read this, see if you notice any of these, "the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And, you know, when you look at this and you see that stuff, and maybe even you're a believer, but you see some of that stuff come up, you know, and you that's the flesh. And that's why Paul says, walk in the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, and watch what this is, what the Holy Spirit produces in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. These things, they come from the flesh, and what Paul is saying is very simple. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the desires of your flesh. And everything we read that's from the flesh is terrible. But it's so easy to invest in it because it fights so hard against the Spirit. But the Spirit brings out those fruit of love, joy, peace, and that's what we want, and that's what the world around us needs to see. And I think many of us are hindered in our growth or breakthrough, often because of pride. And I remember the story of Naaman. Naaman had leprosy, and he was a Syrian, I believe. And his king sent a letter to the king of Israel and said, I'm sending Naaman and heal him of his leprosy. And of course, the king like tears his clothes, I think, and he comes to Elijah and says, they come to start a war. Basically, it's impossible. They just want an excuse to kill me. And Naaman comes there. He brings so much, I think it was like 2.3 million or something. All this money, all these clothes, everything he brings over. And we read the story of Naaman, and Elisha doesn't even meet him, I believe. He just says, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman gets so offended. He's like, I thought he would just wave his hand over my leprosy and it would be gone. And he's so offended, and he gets ready to leave. He's furious, he's heading back, and his servant says, if he asked you to do something big, wouldn't you have done it? So why not do this? And I think in the Christian life, a lot of times what you see is that pride gets in the way of growth. And so the gospel is so simple. But sometimes when we feed and we invest into the things of the flesh, it becomes so hard because the flesh is contrary to the Spirit. And we have to submit, we have to yield, and he's there to help us so that we can grow. And he produces that fruit in us of love, joy, peace, and all that. The other thing that often inhibits growth is, well, and as we're talking about it, and Naaman dipping into Jordan, the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And especially among my friends, and I talk to them, and you know, they're serious. They want to follow the Lord, and I ask them, when are you getting baptized? And you know, they go, well, I'm not ready for it yet. Like, I gotta get my stuff together. I gotta get ready. And I'm like, well, when are you gonna stop sinning? You know, they're always like, I'm just not ready yet, because like, I feel like I'm gonna just sin again. I'm like, when are you gonna stop sinning? And if you could stop sinning, why would you need a helper? Right? If we could stop sinning, what's the point of a helper? There's nothing to help. And a lot of times we hinder, or we see growth hindered in a person because they don't understand that he's there to empower us, enable us to walk out the things of Christ and the law of God. And I think I'm just going to go over briefly what baptism is to remind you the significance of it. Baptism doesn't save you. It's not like, well, I didn't get baptized, and because we know the thief on the cross, the story. But baptism is still significant, and it's important, and you should get baptized if you receive Christ, because it says that, well, and we read and we study that baptism is identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And essentially what is the outward testimony of an inward change. And what it really shows is it's the flesh. We're crucifying the flesh. We're dying. And when we die to the things of the flesh, and we raise up and we live to the things of the Spirit. And baptism is so important. It shows that, signifies that, and it has a lot of weight behind it. And it helps a lot of people who are struggling with condemnation, who are struggling with before, like when you don't understand, so you're like, every time there's an altar call, you're resaving yourself, right? Because people are like, well, maybe that time it wasn't real, this time it's real. But when we get baptized, it helps us so much because we know, hey, I made a decision to follow Christ. And as I walk, and I walk in the Spirit, He helps me to put to death the things of the flesh. And even when I make a mistake, I know that He's there to help me. I'm not playing this game where it's like, you know, I don't know, I know, I know, I don't know. And it's so significant in our lives. It's so simple. Romans 6, 1 through 7, I'm going to show you this scripturally. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And that's what a lot of young people need to understand. If you're afraid of sinning after you receive baptism, or you're feeling condemned, or like, I can't do it, you don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to walk it out. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed me clean. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I want you guys to consider that. It's so important. If you have received Christ and you haven't been baptized, maybe you've been brought up somewhere where you have to be a certain, you have to do certain things or be a certain age. If you're old enough to acknowledge Jesus Christ and you receive him, then get baptized. You know, you just see, and like, there's so many things in our lives that if we would be make that public confession, it would be so much easier for us as we walk. Because I know in my life, it was so hard, and like I had to keep, you know, it was kind of under the covers until it was just when I just boldly said it. And that's when most of the attacks stopped. And people would just stop asking because they knew what you now believed in. So walk in the Spirit. The third thing, what hinders our growth is punishment. And this is, I think, one of the most misunderstood and even could get easily twisted if someone says it the right way. But you will have trouble allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you if you think God is trying to punish you. You're going to have trouble growing if you think that the Holy Spirit is there or God is there to punish you. Yes, God is the righteous judge, and we know that he judged the nations. But when we receive Christ, that's why he came. He lived a righteous life and died and was raised again to take away our sin, to redeem us and to restore us. And so God cannot punish you for your sin when he's already punished someone for your sin. A just God can't punish twice for the same thing that was paid. And Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And the Greek word, do you remember what it was? Tetelaria or something? Yeah, so that actually means, and it was just so cool, it just opened up my mind when one of our elders shared this. That word means that, say Ben and I had a debt and he owed me for detailing his car. And I kept doing cars for him and it kept growing and growing in debt. And I'm like, I'm done. And someone comes in and they see that they hear about Ben's bill and I'm talking about him and I'm ready to, you know, take care of him. And he comes up, well, what? How much does he owe? And I start pointing at this much and this, and he's like, okay, I'll cover it. And he begins to give out what he owed me, and not only does he give for what he owed me, he also gives out for the future. And he's like, hey, I know Ben's going to come back from the detail, he's not going to pay you. Right? When Jesus said it is finished, he covered our sin. And he actually took away the sin of the whole world. I'll show you this. 1 John 2:2. He himself is a sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. Jesus paid the price for every sin in the world, but the difference is if you receive his righteousness. Because when you receive him, you receive righteousness. He took the payment for sin, but we have to receive his righteousness for us. And if we don't understand that, and last time we also had a debate, and healing was brought up. And a lot of people think that God sends sickness to punish them. And that's not correct. We just learned that God cannot punish for the same sin twice. And we know that Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and said, here is my body broken for you. Right? Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins, and the crushed for our sins, and the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And he was prophesying. Peter then says, by his stripes we were healed. Jesus paid for everything at the cross. And if we don't understand that, we'll not only inhibit our growth, we'll inhibit other people's growth. And always looking, what didn't I do to please God today? Waking up, what did I do wrong? I gotta go look up. I gotta see everything. We're always afraid to live. And when you always have sin on your mind, and you're always thinking, then you start getting locked up. It's kind of like when you're talking to people, you know, people that have a speech impairment or stuttering, or like sometimes even me, I'll slur my words when I'm talking to someone at home or I'm talking to family or something, it's fine. But as soon as like I'm thinking about it or anticipating it, you get like nervous and your words just start not coming out. And just like that, when it's always on your mind, in the same way, when we're always just thinking about sin, we're so scared, we can't move. No, Christ came to set us free. And when we live in that freedom, we walk it out, and we walk out holiness. We yield to the Spirit. He is there to enable us and to walk with us. And that's what so many people don't understand. And we really need to understand that to grow and to begin learning, okay, how is the Holy Spirit working in my life, and how can I allow him to do it? And he begins to empower us, to enable us, to teach us, to reveal Christ to us. There's so much more that we're going to learn about. But I want to show real quick what he does. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, John 16:8 through 11. And when he has come, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. He convicts the world of sin because they don't believe in Jesus. And that makes us able to see our need for salvation. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Right? Jesus says, I'm leaving, but I'm sending another like me, right? So he convicts us of righteousness because Jesus went to his Father and we see him no more physically. For those of us that receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit reminds us who we are. He reminds us of what Christ did for us, and he through us, we begin to live out that life that we're called to. And so a lot of people misunderstand that, and so the way they see the Holy Spirit is he's ready to hit everyone over the head when he empowers us to live holy lives, set apart and free from the law of sin and death. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge. God shows himself as the judge, and he defeated the enemy. And that he just shows that, hey, I'm the judge. And when he poured out, and for us Christians, when we receive Christ, that paid the price. and we are justified before God when we receive Him as our Lord and Savior and trust in Him. If you lack in anything, or if you lack in what faithfulness, if you're worried about walking out the life that God's called you to, you can pray, you can be honest. I think one of the coolest things is that you can be honest with God. He knows your thoughts from afar off. And so sometimes the things I'm, well, hopefully all the time, the things I'm struggling with or the things I need growth in, I just come before Him and I ask Him. And every time He seems to answer, I'll be like, I wanted to know more of Jesus. And I look back after a month and I've learned so much. I want to know you, Holy Spirit. I want you to become a dear friend of mine. And He begins to show me who He is. And I begin to feel and encounter and experience who He is in my life. And it's amazing. You can be honest with God. He knows everything that's going on. And when you're honest, that helps you because He can work in you. And He says, I have the solution. I've given you my Holy Spirit. And He enables you to walk it out. As you begin to rely on Him, walk in Him. Invest in the things that matter. You know, the flesh and the spirit, they're against each other. And what we feed grows. So let's invest in the things of the spirit and not in the things of the flesh. When there's an opportunity to feed the flesh, maybe some things aren't necessarily bad, but they're just a waste of time. Take that time and use it for good. Use time in your schedule for good. The things you read, the things you see, use it for good. And invest in the things of that are good, and they're going to bring out in you what is the characteristic of Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's doing a work. And we'll learn what He does and really the identify some of the work He does in our lives. But if you don't understand that the flesh wars against the spirit, right, where we talked about that, and we think that God is there to punish us, to you know, beat us, or everything, every little turn, it's an on and off thing, then you don't yield to the Holy Spirit because you think of Him as someone who's come to hurt you or something like that. But when you understand that He's there to help, and He is the Holy Spirit, and He enables you to walk out the holy life and be set apart, it changes your world, and it changes your life, and you actually have what people want out there, and you have what many churches need today. They need to see someone who actually has a relationship with God. They don't say intellectually, I have a relationship with God. They show it in their lives, and their just hearts are burning and are alive, and that's when you'll see an active church. That's when you'll see signs and wonders follow when we establish a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, He now lives in us. All right? That's what I have for you guys. I just want to encourage you to yield to Him. I want to encourage you this week, pray the prayer, show me who you are, Holy Spirit. And if you've never received Christ as your Savior, or if you feel condemnation, you feel, you know, you're just feeling not right, get right with God. And when you get right with God, keep your mind right with God. Don't let that condemnation, don't let the fear in. Allow God to work in you. Fill your time and begin to pray. When I used to think it's crazy that people pray for an hour. My grandpa would, you know, we'd go over his house and he's like, okay, time to pray. We'd have to all go on our knees, and like, he would pray for an hour and a half. You know, we're kids, like, I dreaded it. How can a person pray that much? And then I began to ask, Lord, teach me to pray. And He begins to draw you in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we have morning prayers, 6 to 7, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And those go by like this when He begins to teach you how to pray. It's awesome. It's that draw. It's that life. You begin to want to be drawn to the life-giving source. And read this word. There's too many people that this is foreign to them, and they don't know the word. So read the word, begin to pray, and you're going to see life in you. You're going to see peace, and all those other things that you're worried about, they're going to be added to you. You don't even have to worry about them. So allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. All right? So let's close in prayer, and we could stand for that. And then I'll just close in prayer. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're alive and active in our midst today. I thank you that you're the one who gives boldness. It says in Acts that they receive boldness to speak the word of God because you fell upon them, Holy Spirit. And I pray not only would you, we know that you're in us when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but also be upon us, be upon our lives. And I pray for each one here, God, I pray that you would anoint them and you would baptize them, Jesus, in your Holy Spirit. And I pray, God, for signs and wonders in their life, God. I pray for active Christianity, God. I pray for, like never before, the city would be shaken. And who are these men? And they perceive that they've been spending time with Jesus. We pray that, God, over all of us as a youth, I pray, fill our churches again. Fill our hearts again with your word and your truth, God. Purify us. Cleanse us. Bring those hearts that are wandering and those hearts that are on the sideline to you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do a work in our lives and that when we see those things we don't like, we take hope and courage in knowing that you're there working in us. And when we see all those things that were so wrong and we're so tired sometimes of even our own selves, of the flesh, we know, Holy Spirit, you are greater than that and you are working in us to be like Jesus. And we praise your name. I pray, open up your word to us. Draw us to pray. I pray that our Bibles in their secret place would be the least dusty of all the things we have. And we pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. Come downstairs. We'll hang out. If you guys want a copy or something of the little devotionals you could do every day, we can get it to you.